The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw that Moses was doing all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people came to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple cases they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. That ends the reading for today, and I'll hand it over to Pastor Ying now.
Well, good morning, 1115. A special welcome once again to 1115 Online. And we have been going now for a few months. I'm not anticipating that we'll get back very soon. So I think it's something we're going to have to learn to get used to for a number of months. Not sure how long. But I want to encourage you to hang in there. God is very sovereign and blessed us with the technology to be able to use this and be able to connect with each other. And if you're new here for the very first time, this is the first time to CCC or first time to church, a very special welcome to you. And I hope that this will be both an enjoyable and a stimulating time, right? Well, we're going through this today. Also, we're going to try some new things. I'm going to try use our chat again. So I want you to get all your chat functions up. And if you're on the computer, on your PC or Mac, there's a chat button down the bottom. And if you're using an iPad, it's on the top right corner with three dots. I'm not sure where it is on the iPhone or these other sort of phones. I want to get the chat function up. And also, we're going to try and take a poll in the middle. So I'm going to launch a poll in the middle, plus many other things, okay? So as I said last week, we continue on our journey through the book of Exodus, right? And we're now landing in the book of Exodus chapter 18. But before we look at chapter 18 in detail, it's always good to try and recall the context and the journey that we've been on. And for those who are actual Bible readers and who are familiar with the book of Exodus, it'd be good to also look at what lies ahead of us, right? So what I want you to do in the chat function is answer one simple question. Now, let me firstly share my screen, which I didn't share last time. Okay, tell me, can you see my screen? Just put thumbs up. Yeah, great. The last time in the book of chapter 9:15, I forgot to share my screen. Okay, you see Exodus. Here's a simple question I want you to answer on the chat line. What were the key events in the book of Exodus? Okay, I want you to put it on the chat, and I typed in the 10 plagues. Okay, we've got the 10 plagues. Yeah, what else? Anything else? Out of Egypt? Yep, what else? Parting in the Red Sea parting. Anything else? Water from the rock? Yep. Anything else? Golden calf, yeah, that's later on. Food, water, things, save the people, plagues, freedom from Egypt, 10 plagues, yes. Anything else you want to have? Manna, what else? The mountain thingy, the 10 commandments. I like the mountain thingy, that's right. Thank you, Jackie. Wandering around for 40 years. That's actually later on. That's in the book of Numbers. People complaining. Yeah, that's a big thing. The people complaining. I'm sure we're used to that sort of thing. 10 commandments. What about, no one mentioned about the call of Moses? The call of Moses, the burning bush, all that sort of stuff. Okay, that's not too bad, right? Now, here's the second question, right? If you had to summarize the book of Exodus, we've been going through it for a number of times, but a number of weeks now, but if someone asked you, what was the book of Exodus about? What would you, how would you summarize in 10 words or less? In 10 words or less, okay? In 10 words or less, summarize the main idea of the book of Exodus. God's rescue, Israel's complaint, God provides for them, the God is sovereign, becoming God's nation, redemption. Wow, one word, Angela, that's pretty good. Anything else? The lead up to Jesus? Okay, that's not bad, Jackie. A few more, just a couple more responses. What else would you say? The exit. Oh, I like that one, the exit. I think that's from Yong, being faithful. He's always clever with his words. Salvation. That's pretty good. That's okay. Well, I think what's important here is that, like I said, we want to look through the book of Exodus and we're looking at chapter 18, but it's worthwhile recalling what the sort of journey that we have covered, right? And where the rest of Exodus will take us to. So let's have a look at the screen. You can see my screen. There is a breakdown. You can see the chapters. Can you see that? Thumbs up. Just want to double check. Okay, good. If you look at the whole book of Exodus, this is how it's basically broken up. The people in slavery in chapter 1, the God raises a leader, that is Moses. Remember how Moses, God rescues Moses out of the water, and he's raised up in the palace, precinct, and educated by the best of the best. In chapters 3 and 4, that's when he meets God, the burning bush, and God tells him, go back down to Egypt and say, let my people go. And then chapters 5 to 15, we see God finally acting and God rescuing his people, the parting of the Red Sea. And in chapter 15, we have this great triumphal celebration where the people look back, see all the Egyptian armies drown in the waters of the Red Sea, and they're singing, having a dance song, celebrating God's great power, his and the way he protected his people. When they leave the Red Sea, they go on their journey. God leads them on the journey, and the people begin to grumble and complain, and God provides for them. When you come to chapter 19 to 20, God meets his people on Mount Sinai, and 21 to 40, where there's a bit of pause in the middle, they basically, God gives them lots of rules and regulations of how they're going to live together. So he's brought them from slavery to himself. The big question on our mind is, what's chapter 18 about? What's chapter 18 about? If you recall the Bible reading from Jason, can you remember what it was about? And essentially it was, covers the area of a family reunion. Okay, a family reunion and fatherly advice. Fatherly advice, right? And you've got to ask yourself the question, what is that all about? Remember that we meet Jethro back in chapter 2. Moses has been busy saving the people, so to speak, and they finally come together and meet up again. Now, what bugs me, here's the question, is how does chapter 18 fit within the whole flow of the book of the storyline of Exodus? See, most of the Exodus, I can see where it fits in, and you see this part of this epic story. But it seems to come to a major pause, a stop in chapter 18. And one has to ask, well, what's that all about, right? And so I want to throw the question back to you on the chat line, right? What is chapter 18, or what is the role of chapter 18 in the storyline of the book of Exodus? What is the role of chapter 18 in the storyline of the book of Exodus? Why is chapter 18 there? In other words, if we took out chapter 18, would it be any different or not? I want to put on the chat line, do you tell me, what do you think chapter 18, what important message does chapter 18 want to tell us in the plot and the storyline of the book of Exodus? Have a look at chapter 18 in your Bibles, and why don't you tell me what you think is the big idea of chapter 18 and how it contributes to the story. All right, let's chat. Moses being Judge Judy. Yeah, that's interesting. Anything else coming from a lawyer? Anyone else? What, no responses? Setting structure of a community. You have to listen to your father-in-law. Yeah, that's a good one. Always listen to your father-in-law, okay? All you married people or future, listen to your father-in-law, okay? How God's work is spread to foreign and how to delegate. That's an interesting point. Anything else? Just a couple more responses. Family support is important. Yeah. Family support is important. Share in leadership. One last one. Lucky last. Who wants to have the final say? Collaboration in ministry. Right. Now, a lot of those ideas, thanks for all those ideas. And a lot of the ideas are not necessarily bad in and of themselves. But I've read many commentaries on what the role and the function of the book of chapter 18 is about. And what's interesting is that a lot of these commentaries and a lot of the people, scholars, basically zero on the idea very much of what you say. They talk about leadership. They talk about organizing, about work-life balance and things like that. But one of the things that bugs me no end is they don't often explain how it fits into the whole storyline of the book of Exodus. I want to suggest my theory, which I haven't come across anyone else. I actually want to suggest that chapter 18 serves as the second half of the bookend that began in chapter 2. See, chapter 1 introduces to us the whole situation of the problem. Chapter 2, we introduce to Moses, and he is not only raised in the king's palace, but then when he tries to serve his people, he's actually rejected as a leader. He flees to Midian, and that's where he meets his father-in-law, his future father-in-law, Jethro. Then when you come to chapter 3, 17, the whole focus on people's salvation and people complaining. But notice when you come to chapter 18, once again, we come back to Jethro, but something with a big difference. And we come back to Moses with a big difference. And I actually want to say that chapter 2 and chapter 18 serve like sort of bookends that tie the whole lot together. And how so? I actually want to see, right, that chapter 18 is an important chapter because it serves a contrast to what's just gone on before. It serves a summary of what has gone on before. And it prepares us for the transition from mob to the formation of a nation. So chapter 18 is quite critical from moving from chapters 1 to 17 through to chapter 19 onwards. And that's why I think chapter 18 is important. It's a contrast, it's a summary, and it's a transition. Well, let's have a look at how it is a contrast. Well, firstly, it reminds us that hearing is believing. I need to qualify that later on. But if you remember what we saw back in the people of Israel as they left the Red Sea and then they came and they wandered to the promised land, what do we discover? Not long after they left, they started complaining. There was no water. A few months into their journey, they started complaining again, really big complaints. And there was no food. There was no water. And so God constantly provided food and water for his people. And the big lesson we learned from chapter 16 and 17, what do we learn? That seeing is not always believing. Because remember the big point I brought up last week is that these people had saw in very, very big ways, very stark contrast. They experienced and they tasted the power and the provision of God. They saw it with their naked eye, and yet they still did not believe. Now, in contrast to that, in direct contrast to that, we have what you see. We have Jethro. And what do we see about Jethro? Well, Jethro is a priest of Midian. Where is Midian? There is Midian. You see down there in the bottom right corner, Midian. I don't know if you can see my mouse, but on the top left corner is where the people of Egypt is. They journeyed down the Gulf of the Suez, as you can see that, that's present day. They stopped over at Rephidim, just near the, not far from Mount Sinai. And when they come to there, that's when Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, comes and meets Moses. But what is interesting is that where Jethro is not a believer in the book in chapter 2, we discover something has changed in chapter 18. And what has changed? His whole attitude to God has changed in a big way. Have a look at what it says in chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, what did he do? He heard. He heard about everything that God had done. Same thing again. Listen to this. How do you hear? Because you've been told. So Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done. And again, the same thing is said again in verse 9. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done. You see, the emphasis of chapter 18 is very, very clear. In contrast to the people of Israel, who didn't see, Jethro didn't see either. Whereas the people of Israel saw, Jethro didn't see. But what do we see? But whereas the people didn't believe, Jethro heard and he believed. And that's an important thing. Jethro had heard the gospel, you could say. He heard the good news of all that God had done. Even far away as Midian, even though he was not there, the news had spread like wildfire. Jethro heard, he heard and he heard and he heard. But it wasn't just Jethro, and it wasn't just an immediate news. It was something which was news that kept being spread around for the next 40 years. So 40 years later, when we come to the book of Joshua, what do we discover? Well, in the land of Canaan, to which they were heading and 40 years later, when they finally arrive, what do they discover from the inhabitants? Look at what he says in verse 9. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and the great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard, note that emphasis, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. When did they hear this? They heard this 40 years later. Not just a few days later, 40 years later. Look at verse 11. When we heard of it, our hearts melted. In other words, what is clear here is that Jethro heard the news. He heard the news. Now, that being said, we need to be very clear of the two types of hearing. There are two types of ways we hear. There are those who hear that leads to no change. It goes in one ear and out the others. A lot of wives will say that about their husbands, I'm pretty sure, right? Right? I got Yong here at church and he says, yes. Is that right, Vanessa? All right, I know that. Is that right, Frank or Lillian? A lot of wives will say our husband's here, but they don't. It goes in one ear and out the other. No change. But there's a hearing that does lead to change. There's a hearing that does lead to change. It's interesting that when the people of Canaan, the Philistines, heard, it did not lead to change, but to confirm their resistance. In fact, it led them to great fear of you falling on us, so that all who live in the country are melting in fear because of you. But it did not lead them to surrender. It made them work harder to put up their fortresses so that their God could not come and take over their land. And when we heard of it in verse 11, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed. But it did not lead to change. It confirmed them in their rebellion. Contrast that with Jethro. He heard, but what did he do? He said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued from the land of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the other gods." You see, Jethro heard. But unlike the people of Israel who saw and did not believe, Jethro heard, and what do we see? He actually believed. The message has been passed around. He heard and he believed. And that's the first thing that the chapter 18 reminds us of, or highlights, that Jethro stands in stark contrast to the people of Israel who saw but did not believe. Jethro heard and he did believe. But the second thing that this chapter tells us, it's also a summary of what has just gone on. It is a reminder, it's a summary about the good news that Jethro had heard. Have a look again at chapter 18, verse 1. Listen to what Jethro had heard. He heard of everything, in other words, everything God had done for Moses and for his people in Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Have a look at verse 8. Moses told his father-in-law about what? Everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. And again, listen to Jethro's game. Jethro was delighted to hear about what? All the good things the Lord had done. What are the good things the Lord has done for Israel in rescuing them from the land of the Egyptians? In other words, in this dialogue, in this family reunion between Jethro and Moses, where they exchange, they share about what's been happening, they recount the whole Exodus experience, and for them, it is a reminder, a clear reminder of all the good things God had done in rescuing them out of Egypt and bringing them here. And that's an important thing, because the danger for most of us is that we can often get it wrong. We can often misunderstand the events and the message of God. Hollywood certainly gets it wrong. In this depiction of the Exodus account, what do they see Exodus about? They see it as a man who was prepared to defy an empire and change the world. It was about the underdog who rises and become a change agent in world history. But Jethro and Moses reminds us that everything what happened was not about him. It's about what? It's about the God who rescues. It's about the God who rescues. And this is an important thing for us to pause and ponder. Because the question we got to keep asking ourselves is, what is the gospel? Because really, when you think about it, the gospel is none other than simply good news. What was the good news that Jethro heard about? What was the good news that Moses talked to Jethro about? What is the good news? What is that good news? Well, the good news as far as Jethro, good news that Jethro heard and that Moses talked about was the fact that God had defeated his enemies, that God had rescued his people. You see, the Christian message is not about good advice or good opinions or good thoughts. It is always good news. It is breaking news about an event that happened, about what God has done. But on a much bigger landscape, what is the gospel? It is the good news of the event in which God sends his son to rescue people from sin and from slavery under Satan and to bring them into the freedom and to the kingdom of the Son of God, into a new life. That is the good news. It's how God rescues us from sin and from Satan and from God's anger. This is the good news. This is the message of the Exodus. This is the message of the gospel. It is good news. But what is important here also, right? What is important is that not only is it good news, it was good news that actually was accurately passed on. Accurately passed on. Because remember what Moses, Jethro heard. He heard, he praises God who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. But here's the second thing that this good news does. It was the good news that actually led him to faith in God. Led him to faith in God. Because look at what happened to Jethro. He praised the Lord. He came to recognize that the Lord is greater than all the other gods, for he did this to those who arrogantly opposed him. You know, one of the sad things we learned last week that seeing is not believing. That people can see with their naked eye and experience in the whole life and taste with it and doesn't lead to faith. But what is it that will lead people to recognize that God is God? And what is it that recognize that there is no other God? It is to hear the good news. That's why learning to teach and spread the good news accurately and faithfully is so, so important. Because it's by hearing the good news about what God has done that people come to realize that God is God and that he is the God who has rescued his people. But here's the problem, right? The problem is that so often is that we often don't understand that or we don't communicate it clearly enough. A lot of times, I've heard it so many times when people try to explain what God has done, it's often garbled and people just don't understand. I want to take a simple poll now, right? I'm going to relaunch this poll. We'll clear. Yep, let's continue. Now, can everyone see the poll? Great. And I want you to, there's two questions to the poll, right? I want you to answer this poll, right? Have you gone through an advanced and training course? Advanced and training course simply means, have you been taught how to explain the gospel in a simple and clear way? I want everyone to answer this poll. How are we going? We have three responses, four responses out. We have seven. Ten yes, four, five, two says no. Are you confident? Okay, keep going. How many? All right, how are we going? Keep going. All right. Few more. All right. That's not too bad. Let me share the poll. Let me end the poll there and let me share the poll. Can I share the poll? Share results. Look at the results there, right? Now, this is, I'm not sure how, where it's full, but what it means is there's only half of us who are confident sharing the gospel. 34% of us have not been able to, been equipped to know how to share the gospel. 53 53% are confident, 47 are not confident. Wow, that's amazing. It's about half of us. And you know what that means? That if we're going to, if people come to know God and that He's the true living God through hearing, then we need to be clear and equipped to know how to share that good news to others so that they understand in the same way that Jethro understood correctly. And so I want to encourage anyone, if you haven't gone through something, to those who haven't been trained, I actually want to encourage you to get sign. I hope we can run some sort of training courses in our church. I've been trained myself in something called Two Ways to Live, a very simple way, as it says there, to know and share the gospel in a simple way. Other people have gone through evangelism explosion. Whatever the case, it doesn't really matter. But one thing I do want us to do is think about opportunities to get equipped so we can equip ourselves to share the gospel so that people can know that God is God and He's the true living God. But the point here is that Jethro and Moses stands as a summary of the account that had just gone by so that people do not misunderstand what Exodus is about. But there's a third thing. It's also a transition to the next stage, and it reminds us the good news is that God is forming a new nation, that God is forming a new nation. What's important here is that when you come to the second half of chapter 18, what do we see doing? Moses is run off his feet, trying to organize, trying to hear the complaints of everyone and to adjudicate. And he's going from sun up to sun down. And Jethro says, you can't do that. You're going to kill yourself. And so his instruction is, what is instruction to Moses? Essentially, the instruction is to form a government. That's what he's saying. Just delegate your responsibilities out. Get people to take care of local matters, and then you've got sort of high court matters, and for me, you deal with Supreme Court matters and so on, and then take them to God. So Jethro is saying to Moses is form a government. And in the form of a government, not only is there a form of government, but it's clear that Moses himself is the leader. Because he's the one who's the representative of God on supreme matters. He's the one who appoints and sets up the government. Back in chapter 2, his leadership was disputed. In chapter 18, his leadership is very clear. So what we have here basically is the formation of a new nation. A formation of a new nation. A government, a leader, a nation. The question we're going to ask ourselves, what sort of nation are we forming? That's the question. What sort of a nation is it formed? And I want to say here, it reminds us, this prepares the groundwork for chapter 19, where God will spell out for us what this nation looks like. So chapter 18 is the preparation for chapter 19 to 20 and onwards, where God will spell it out. But the important thing here we need to remember is that when God saves people, He saves them to become part of a community. Do you realize that CCC is not just a collection of individuals? It's a community of believers. It's very much like this. I'm going to share a screen. Can you share a screen? I don't know. How do I get the sound? Can I see it? I'm trying to share a sound.
You have to close it.
I have to share. Oh, stop it. Oh, well. Okay. Okay, don't worry. I won't show it.
Did you click share?
Yep. Okay, I don't think you can. Can you see the thing? I don't think you can see it, but that's okay. No, it's all right. We'll move it on. Let me try and, okay. I didn't know how to share it, so it's okay. But the important thing here is that CCC is a community of believers. It's not just a collection of individuals, it's a community. And you know what that means in this community? That means that we have an obligation to each other. It means that we have an obligation to each other. a collection of individuals means we just happen to meet in the same place and do our own thing. A community means we meet in the same place and have an obligation to each other. It means we are organized to serve with each other. But in any community as well, it also means that there is a leader. And in this new nation, this community, who is the leader? It is Jesus, who is our leader. And that's why it's important that this passage here is a transition to the next stage of what the passage is about. And that is that it's about a formation of a community, formation of a nation. So when we come to chapter 18, what's chapter 18 about? It's very important. It tells us important things. In terms of contrast, it's not just about seeing, it's about hearing the gospel that leads to faith. It leads people to come back to God. It is simply a summary of God's work of rescuing his people. And lastly, it's a transition from mob to nation, where God brings these people out of slavery and forms them into a new nation in which Moses was the leader, but today Jesus is the leader of a new nation. He calls it the new nation of a church. So what does it mean for us? And I actually want to say there are three things it means for us. One, for thus it means it's an opportunity to rejoice. For those of us who are believers, who come to know the Lord Jesus, belong to the church, it's an opportunity to rejoice and to remember what God has done for us. Rejoice that we are a saved community, free from sin, free from Satan, free from the judgment of God. It's an opportunity to rejoice. Two, it's an opportunity to be reminded why we rejoice. We're reminded because of what God has done. What makes this church so unique is that we are a community of believers which God himself has actually rescued from sin and Satan and brought us together. And lastly, for us, it's an opportunity to retell the good news of what God has done for us. And in fact, here for those of us who are not believers, who are not Christians, then here's the message I want to say to you. Hear the message of what God has done for you. Hear the message that Jesus died to rescue you from sin and from Satan and to bring you, to make you part of this community, and therefore join to come to know the Lord Jesus, accept his forgiveness, accept the new life, accept his salvation. So the passage in chapter 18, to remind us to rejoice in all that God has done for us and to keep telling the message of God's good news to those around us. Let me close in prayer. Father in heaven, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for that you have rescued us from sin and from Satan. Father, we pray that every time we meet together, we might remind each other of these good things which God has done for us in rescuing us from sin and from Satan. And Father, we pray that you help us to equip ourselves so that we can retell this good news to the world around us who needs to hear the good news of Jesus. Amen.